Good evening, everyone. Well, it's good to be back, that's for sure. See you all. We're going to be resuming Psalm 23. I hope that's good news for you. We're in part 7, and if you can believe it, verse 4 only. But Psalm 23, we'll resume with this precious psalm. And I've enjoyed studying and looking into it. I hope it's been a blessing to you as well. We'll read the 6 verses. Let's actually read it out loud together. Why not? Because it's a great psalm. It's great to read the word of the Lord together. Let's read all 6 verses of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you for reading with me. Let's commit the time to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that you've so graciously given us your mind, your will, recorded on paper for us to read and understand through the help of your Spirit. We pray for your blessing upon us now. Help us, Lord. Help me. I pray there'll be none of me and all of you, Lord. I pray that you would speak to us. Take the time now and multiply it to our hearts. Meet us where we're at, in our point of need. And we pray for a blessing upon us now, Lord. We pray, thanking you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you recall, we've already looked at the first 3 verses of Psalm 23. We began with the gate into the Lord's sheepfold. Considering the Lord is my shepherd, it's a great psalm, and everyone loves to claim it. It's popular and quite famous, probably the most famous psalm, possibly the most famous chapter in the whole Bible. But in order for us to be able to say the Lord is my shepherd, we must consider, am I the Lord's sheep? Have I been born again? Is there a time in my life when I have repented of my sin and turned and placed my faith in Christ? Because if there's not been that in our life, then we can't claim the Lord is our shepherd. We are not his sheep yet. And yet the invitation is there for all those lost sheep. Remember, we looked at those pictures of the lost sheep that the Lord wants to save. And if you're in that position tonight, the Lord has his arms open to you to make you one of his sheep. And the invitation, the call, the gift is there for you to take. And so, accepting Christ as our Saviour, we come into his sheepfold. We can say, the Lord is my shepherd. He provides all we need, leads us through beautiful paddocks and green pastures, beautiful streams of water. He feeds us and nourishes us. He provides everything we need. We've had some beautiful pictures that we've looked through, how he helps us, and he leads us in the right way for his name's sake. But now we come to verse 4, and there is a change of tone. We've had a beautiful image so far in the first 3 verses, and now there are obstacles. Now there are difficulties. And the Christian life, it's sometimes silly to state the obvious, but it can be difficult. And we know this from experience. And the psalmist is aware of this. David knows this, that following the Lord and life has difficulties. And he reflects on these difficulties in the light of being one of God's sheep. So we come to verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Okay, wow, that's a pretty imposing picture painted here. We're going to be looking at 3 things tonight, Lord willing. The valley, and then the shepherd, and then us, the sheep. Valley, the shepherd, and then the sheep. The valley of the shadow of death. It's a very scary image if we think about it. Death's shadow, owning a valley. Is this a real place? Well, I've heard that been suggested that it refers to the Valley of Kidron because of Molech worship there. But I can't see anything in the passage to suggest it's a real place, a physical, actual location. I mean, it may have been in his mind, but God hasn't revealed it. it seems more likely it's symbolic of trials. Just the same as verse 2 has green pastures and still waters, and there's no particular paddock that David's referring to or a particular stream. It's more symbolic of God's feeding and nourishment. In the same way, this valley of the shadow of death is symbolic of difficult and dark times of any kind. And it's a blessing that the Lord uses this poetic language because it allows us biblically to make many applications of this truth, because there's many different kinds of dark times we have in our lives. We'll get more into that. But as I've been reading about the background to this, and coming from a shepherd's perspective, there's a great book I recommend to you, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. And this man was a shepherd in Africa and experienced also in the Middle East, and he's also, I believe, a pastor. Or he was, I don't know if he's still alive. But anyway, it's very good, good, really great content, and how he brings out the shepherding aspects. And I was reading about this this pattern that sheep follow through the seasons. See, in winter, the sheep feed in the lowlands, topographically low. And then in spring, as snow melts, the sheep travel up the mountain ranges. And apparently this is common practice in the Middle East. And then they follow the snow as it melts, and they go up and up and up. And in summer, they feed in the fresh upper alpine pastures, beautiful areas. So it's summer, and they're very high in altitude. And then in autumn, as it gets colder and the snow returns, then they return down to the lowlands. And based on this experience as a shepherd, apparently the best way to the mountain, the top of the mountain, is through the valley. You take valleys to get to the mountaintop. And we'll go more into detail with that later on. But consider the valley here as a pathway for the sheep. Now, we have different kinds of valleys, true? We think of a beautiful, lush, green valley with a river running through, which is a true picture, and which the Lord can bless us with. But clearly, the valley talking about here is a very different kind of valley, a dark, scary valley. This is one that would frighten sheep. Imagine a steep gorge. Rather than a flowing, shallow valley, imagine a canyon with high sides of unscalable rock. This is a valley that is dark and deathly and evil, and sunlight has a hard time getting down to the bottom because it's so narrow and so high. It's not lush and pleasant and beautiful. It's the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, shadow makes it cold anyway, but then you've got death's shadow. And this is the main description given to this time of life that a Christian can go through and that a sheep can experience. We have shadow of death. This is the main descriptor. We think about, I just thought about this, maybe there's two kinds of death we could talk about that would be applicable. One would be physical death, and the other one would be the deathliness of sin. Sin has a deathly power, an evil, the separation from God, that is a spiritual death. Now, this valley is a scary thing and a hard time. And life can throw scary things at us in hard times. And it's a valley. We feel down and depressed. It can be grim and gloomy. It can cause us to be sorrowful. You know, Psalm 42 also talks about a similar feeling. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? That's a deep, dark valley. It can be dangerous. You know, there is a threat. We are in a battle. You know, think of Pilgrim's Progress. You know, when he travelled through all those different areas, he came through dark times and he came across battles. And in the same way, we as pilgrim sheep, we have these dark valleys. And it's dangerous. And apparently in these gorges, these canyons, they're really susceptible to flash flooding because the water can all be channeled into this one area. Very dangerous. And even avalanches, because you're following the snow, so it's still dangerous for that. Once the snow melts, they say it rains, there's rock falls as well and landslides. Then imagine, as you're taking the sheep through, there's rocks, you know, and space behind the rocks, amongst which can hide predators for the sheep. Cougars and bears and wolves and even snakes and things like that, ready to attack the sheep. It's a dangerous place to be. The valley of the shadow of death. You know, it can also be a place of real unknown and where we don't have any answers. We don't understand what's happening, and the sheep going through, I mean, they're not known for their intelligence, you know. They're going through and they just don't know what's going on. That's why it's a comfort to have the shepherd. But they can't see in the darkness. It's a shadowy place. It's hard to see the way to go. You know, sometimes it's like Psalm 42, verse 9. We say, I will say unto my God, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why, Lord? We don't have any answers. The circumstances provide many questions. Sometimes we feel we're alone. You know, in a dark place, it's hard to see others around us. And the sheep could be scared by this. Sometimes we feel alone and with no friend to go with us. You know, sometimes we need to remember the Lord is with us, and we'll get to that. But the valley of the shadow of death can cause us to think these things. But in the same way, death's dark veil is also a road taken by many believers. We all struggle with hard times, difficult times, whether it's a time of depression or a time of difficulty or a time of persecution, time of doubt. You know, none of us are exempt from these things. Maybe it's a time, as we've heard this morning, of chastisement from the Lord. That can feel like a dark valley. But you know, trials are common to all believers. We're all in it together in a very true way. 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And don't think it's weird or unusual. And he goes on in chapter 5, verse 9, Whom resist, that's the devil, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And the dark valley is a place where believers have experienced similar things. The psalmist has this in mind, that God's will sometimes includes the valley of the shadow of death. Let's move on to the good shepherd. We painted this kind of scary picture, and life can be scary. But it's important because in the light of God, things change. The good shepherd is with us. He says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And the reason why, Thou art with me. The Lord is with us. This is the cause for David's confidence. You know, David is not being holier than thou in some way or ignorant of the danger. He's aware of the deep sorrow of the valley. He was a shepherd. He knows how it can darken your soul, how it can block out the light. And yet it's still 100% true that the sheep can be confident against evil for this one reason, that God is with them. David's knowledge of the evil is real, but so is his knowledge of God, the God who is greater than the evil. Now, it's a wonderful confidence to have the Lord with us in death's dark valley. And there's two great thoughts. One is that Christ walked through a dark valley for us already when he bore our sins. Consider his words on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? For anyone to say that is incredible. But for the Son of God to address that to God the Father is unimaginable. Surely, of all death's dark valleys, that is the scariest. Christ does not lead us where he himself has not already been. He's been through the death's dark valley for us. And then consider that our good shepherd will carry us through. He will carry us through. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, if you will. Romans chapter 8. Some wonderful promises here about God's love when considering opposition. Romans 8, let's read from verse 35 through to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. Look at this, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor the valley of the shadow of death, we could add in there, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Surely, if we were to try and populate the valley of the shadow of death with things, evil things, and make a list, surely these things would be there. And yet none of these things can separate us from the love of God. You know, sometimes we ask each other this question. If you're stuck in the desert, or you imagine some scenario that's really terrible, or if you're fighting an army, or if you're this or that, who would you want with you? Has anyone ever asked you a question like that? If you're stuck, you know, fighting an army, who would you want with you? Something like that. Well, we have the Lord with us. Isn't that a great thought? The Lord is with us. In this same chapter, we have, if God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's a great thing to consider that God's presence alone changes the very nature of the valley. Listen to this, Amos 5:8. I was cheering when I found this verse. Seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion and turneth the shadow of death into the morning. The Lord is the one who turns the shadow of death into the morning. He's the one who changes the nature of the valley from a deep, dark canyon and scary, gloomy, mysterious into a lush, pleasant, green pasture where the river runs through and we are fed, and the Lord helps us through the dark time. God makes all the difference. Now, it's easy to shun fear if our eyes are opened to the angels surrounding us. Consider the story of Elisha in 2 Kings 6 with the young man. And Elisha asked the Lord to open his eyes, and he saw the angelic protection around him. You know, if we saw that, that would surely make us very confident, and we wouldn't have to fear. But it's so much better to have God with us. We need the eyes of faith to recognize that reality, that he is standing with us against the enemies. So much better to have him who made the myriad of angels. God is the good shepherd who provides all we need in our dark times. You know, it is a valley of shadow of death. There's a lack of life, and yet God provides all we need. Consider the prophet Elijah. Consider when his life was threatened. You recall when Jezebel said to him that I will basically take your life. I will kill you. Jezebel threatened his life, and he was depressed. Listen to how he responded. He arose and went for his life. It says he went to Beersheba, left his servant there. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. This is all depression. Imagine all of this that he's doing. He came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. It's a dark valley for Elijah. And he said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's." A deep, dark valley of death for Elijah there. He's going through a hard time. And yet, the verses goes on. This is 1 Kings 19, if you're interested. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, that behold, then an angel touched him. The Lord sent provision and said unto him, what? Arise and eat. The Lord provided. He knew he was down and needed help and encouragement. And he provided food. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. Provision in his time of need. Then again in verse 7, the angel of the Lord came again the second time, this abundant blessing, and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. The Lord knows our needs in these hard times. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights under Horeb, the mount of God. The Lord provided for him in his deep, dark valley. In the same way, the Lord will provide for us. Verse 4 of Psalm 23 has another change of tone in that it begins to address the Lord directly. We have the Lord is my shepherd, and he makes me to lie down, talking about the Lord indirectly. But then, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, Lord, art with me. So here, David is addressing the Lord personally. And so it's a great thing for us to remember that we have a personal relationship with the Lord. And we can talk to him and pray to him. And in our deep, dark valley, never forget to pray. The Lord is there with us. We have a personal connection with our shepherd. And reflecting on God's faithfulness to lead us through past dark valleys increases our confidence that we can be cheerful through the next dark valley. Not glumly drag our feet through, but rejoice through it. And trusting God's protection and following the Good Shepherd through these hard times, choosing not to fear, is a good testimony to others who may be going through other dark valleys. And we'll encourage them. It is a choice to not fear. Interesting the word yea thrown in there. Yes. So if we read it from verse 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is tying in the two verses. So we have the paths of righteousness. Yeah, the paths of righteousness, including the valley of the shadow of death. So the valley of the shadow of death can be part of God's will for his sheep. God makes no mistake in allowing us and leading us through difficult times. Sometimes we can't go over it. Sometimes we can't go around it or under it. Sometimes we have to go through it. And the Lord will take us through it. There are two tools mentioned here that the Lord uses to comfort his sheep in these hard times. The rod and the staff. And it was very interesting reading about these two things. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One commentator said that the rod and the staff are referring to the same implement, but two different uses for the same implement, meaning the shepherd's crook, the stick with the hook on the end, the one that we all recognise a shepherd as having. Most people refer to these as actually a rod and a staff, with the staff being the crook and the stick, and the rod being a shorter, heavier implement, more like a bludgeon. In any case, the Lord has a rod and a staff applicable for us here, and there is lessons we can learn from other scripture in how he uses them to bless us. You know, the rod is a symbol of authority. When we read its use in other parts of scripture, it is authority, power, protection, and strength. It is a short, solid stick. Imagine like a old-school policeman's bludgeon, like that. It's the same idea in Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So it's the rod of correction that the Good Shepherd has, this authority he has. Also, it's a scepter. Genesis 49:10, the scepter, the same word, rod, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. This is a prophecy about Christ the Saviour, who is the Good Shepherd, of course. And so he is the scepter, he is the rod, and he is the Word of God incarnate. So we have the rod of correction, we have the scepter, the authority of a king, or the authority of a shepherd. And you recall from our past sermons, we've looked at how the shepherd has the management, the control, he's in charge of the sheep. And our Lord is in charge of our lives too. The rod. You know, the rod, it has been suggested by a writer that the rod is a picture of God's word for the authority and the correction. Well, it's logical. It's not, I don't think you could definitely say that it's completely there in scripture. That thus saith the Lord, the rod is the Bible. But it is a logical extension. And the implications of the rod being a picture of the word of God are correct and found in the Bible. The authority and the correction. Because we have the rod, the uses of the rod for the sheep. The shepherd would use it to protect the flock. And the word of God does protect us, doesn't it? The rod can be swung to hit. I read a story about hitting a snake and killing it instantly. Or it can be thrown at a beast. And it was taken from a branch and whittled and shaped, custom built by the shepherd for the shepherd to fit his hand, to fit his strength and his size for the length and everything, for him to throw and swing to protect the sheep. It was also used for the discipline of the flock. And I read where the rod can be thrown at sheep who are wandering off. You know, you can't run around the whole flock, but you can throw the rod. And if they're wandering off to a dangerous cliff or into a bog, you can throw the rod, and with accuracy, to bring the sheep back into line. The word of God, remember, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. So that's a legitimate application there. The rod was also used for counting of the flock and examining the sheep. And the verse referred to here is in Ezekiel 20, verse 37. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, which apparently is a shepherding image, where the shepherd would have the sheep in a line, and he would bring them one by one, and they would pass under his rod, and he would use the rod to part the fleece to check for parasites and disease and all this kind of thing. And so once the sheep had passed its checkup with the GP, then it would pass the rod and move on. In the same way, the word of God examines our hearts. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick or living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of wool and skin. No, soul and spirit, but imagine the sheep, and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the Lord, the word who holds the word, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. You know, you can't pull the wool over his eyes. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The word of God, the authority, the measuring stick to bring us back into line, the rod. And that's a comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But also the staff. Well, it's suggested here that the staff, as we talked about, is the shepherding staff. And there's definite legitimate application here of how the Lord uses the staff in our life. It's also suggested that the staff could be symbolic of God's Spirit. And in the same way, the Word of God, it's not definitely there, but the implications are biblical. So you could use it as a picture of God's Spirit. Because the shepherd would use the staff for a number of different purposes, but different to the rod. So the rod would be for correction and for authority and power, but the staff was for comfort and for closeness and for fellowship. The rod would be used to bring sheep closer together. Now, sometimes newborn lambs can get separated from its mother, you know, when there's a lot of ewes lambing, and you would use the staff to lift the lamb back to the ewe so you didn't get human smell on the sheep, on the lamb. And we read similar passages, you know, in the New Testament. We read in Philippians 2:1 about the fellowship of the Spirit. And in Ephesians 4:3, the unity of the Spirit. So God's Spirit clearly has a role in bringing us closer together. And God's staff helps us as sheep come closer together to walk through the valley of the shadow of death together. The staff can be also used to bring sheep closer to the shepherd, perhaps for examination with the rod. And it's good for sheep, which can be timid. The staff is also used for guiding sheep. You know, sometimes the way that the sheep need to go can be uninviting or unclear, as would be death's dark valley. And so the tip would be applied gently to the side of the sheep, not a whack, not a thud, not a wallop, but a gentle nudge to set them on the right path. And we read in John 16:13 that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And testimonies of this happening in the books of Acts, in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So here we have the Spirit guiding us, using the word of God, the rod and the staff working together. The staff could be used to urge onwards. It could be used for rescue as well. You know, lifting a sheep out of a patch of thorns. And that was why it had a hook at the end. Lifting it out of water or a bog or a snare. Or where it's gone into a ravine where you can't reach and you need an extension of the arm. And sometimes the staff was used for close fellowship. Sometimes the shepherd would just walk along but touching a sheep with the end of the staff as if they're walking hand in hand. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? You know, the Lord wants us to walk in that close fellowship with Him, just carefully in touch with Him. Where the rod is correction, the staff is comfort. Where the rod is control, the staff is closeness. So we have these two aspects. Both are comfort, and both used by the Good Shepherd to bless us. Both used by the Shepherd to bless us. So we looked at the valley, we looked at the shepherd. Let's finish up with the sheep. We have the darkness of the valley around us. Now, you may be going through a dark valley yourself now. We have the one who is light with us in the dark valley. But now for the sheep. What is the sheep doing? Well, in this verse, we read the sheep is doing two things. One, fearing no evil. And two, walking through the valley. The sheep is making a choice to fear no evil. We must remember that the Lord is with us. And in anticipation as well, I will fear no evil. See, we walk through death's dark valley, but I'm making a choice. I will definitely not. I choose not to fear any evil. Yes, I'm aware of the evil, but there's no need to be afraid of it because God is with us. You know, we talked about the two kinds of death, and this is death's dark valley. We talked about physical death, but consider that this only graduates us to glory. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And in verse 23, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, I mean I'm stuck between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So physical death has no power. And spiritual death is destroyed. We read in Hebrews 2 verse 14 and 15, wonderful verses. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He, Christ, also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's incredible. The chains of death are broken. We don't have to fear it anymore. You know, it's the shadow of death. Interesting, it's not death's valley. It's the valley of the shadow of death. You know, the shadow of a crocodile has no bite. And the shadow of a gun cannot kill us. In the same way, the shadow of death can only threaten, but has no sting. Consider 1 Corinthians 15. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's merely a shadow. You know, often we fear the trial in anticipation, and we stress out in what might be. And we suffer more than the situation is actually able to afflict us. I've done that. I find that stressful at work, you know, you're stressed about a deadline or something. It's not actually that scary. The Lord can help you. I will fear no evil. It's a future tense in anticipation. God is already with us now, before the trial, during and then afterwards still. Here's what Mr. Spurgeon has to say on the topic. The psalmist speaks without fear. For he regards his expected trials as walking through a shadow. Trials and troubles, if we only have faith, are mere shadows that cannot hinder us on our road to heaven. Sometimes God so overrules afflictions that they even help us on to glory. Therefore, let us walk on and never be afraid. Let us be sure that if we walk in at one end of the hollow way of affliction, we shall walk out at the other. Who shall hinder us when God is with us? The sheep is choosing to fear no evil, but the sheep is doing the second thing, walking through. You know, there is a calmness inside the trial, and clearly the walking is linked to the confidence and the lack of fear and the calmness in the heart. Because if you're afraid, you're not walking. If you're afraid, you're running or you're hiding. But the sheep is walking. You know, we don't need to desperately try to get past the difficulty. We can trust the Lord. There's no need to cower in fear in the rocks in the canyon. It doesn't say that though I get lost in the valley, but though I walk through the valley. You know, the courage enables us to control ourselves as we are under control of God's Spirit and to rest on God's provision. We must be patient in tribulation. We can make steady progress walking along in our walk with the Lord. It's a great word, through. Though I walk through, not even in, but through. It means the travelling sheep has a definite hope of coming out the other end. We pass through. You know, some believers come through the valley and are ushered into heaven. That's some sheep's lot. But this is merely an early mark, early entry into God's presence. Recall our shepherding image of negotiating the mountain range through the seasons, ascending as it gets hotter, descending as it gets cooler, that the best way to the mountaintop was through the valleys. That was the best way. There's a few reasons, chiefly because there's no steep climbs. There's no giant leaps. It's a steady, gradual slope. Also, there's often rivers for drinking and for feeding. And then, next to those rivers, are lush green pastures where the Lord sustains us. That's why the valley is the best way to the mountaintop. But consider it this way, that the mountaintop is the destination of the valley. You know, we should view our dark times down here not as obstacles on earth, but rather pathways of progression in our walk with the Lord, moving on to higher ground. The valley is the way to the mountaintop. You may or may not know, but we went to New Zealand for our honeymoon recently. And the mountains are magnificent. There's even a mountain range called the Remarkables, because they are truly remarkable. Beautiful. You know, we were driving through the Southern Alps of the South Island. You may know the area, driving through Arthur's Pass. And it's beautiful, incredible scenery. But we're driving through the valleys. And you have to get to the top somehow. And we did do some walks. I know for proper rock climbers and stuff, which probably compares nothing. But we did do some walks. And the view at the top is worth the walk. And you know, the blessing the Lord gives us at the mountaintop is worth the valley. It's worth the valley. God will help us to progress through the valley onto the mountaintop in our journey with the Good Shepherd leading us, his rod and his staff comforting us. We also took a helicopter ride onto the top of Tasman Glacier, Mount Cook, which is incredible, beautiful. But in the Christian life, there's no airlifting. There's no helicopter rides. The valleys are the way. And the valleys are not dead ends, but a route to closer fellowship with the Lord. You know, we all have valleys, some deeper, some shallower, some longer, some shorter. But they all lead us on with the Lord. Consider the word through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen.